This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi guys, I'm Ian, 370-something days alcohol-free as of today. Love OTI, find the Zoom calls really useful. It's really important, I think, to surround yourself with people who get it. And I think that just realising that, you know, you're normal and what you're doing is great is so important. Personally, I don't necessarily miss drinking, but I do sort of worry too much about what other people think. And I think, therefore, just to be able to sort of sound off with other people about how you feel about that and get a common sense response is just vital. So keep up the good work. I'll be staying close to everything that you do, and I'll speak to you all soon. Take care.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
I'm excited for this one. Welcome to Over the Influence. If you are just joining us for the first time, thank you so much. And if you are just joining us, actually, just go right back. There's hours upon hours upon hours now of us three absolutely singing about sobriety. We speak to the big wigs in the alcohol-free world. We speak to the world-famous authors. We also speak to our very own brilliant community members. Hold that thought. Woo-hoo-hoo! Get excited before we chat to today's guest, and it's going to be a brilliant, brilliant chat. Just a quick reintroduction as to who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley. Nobody calls me Sharon. Everybody calls me Shaz. Calls me Shazza. 48 years old. I think I'm 3.5 years sober, which is never not blow me away. It's absolutely brilliant. Started out taking a break from alcohol. I reassessed my relationship with alcohol. God, what would I have been? 44, something like that. I thought, I'm going to take a break. Took that 90-day break, and here I am on the world's best alcohol-free podcast, still singing about sobriety. It is the stuff of dreams. If you're considering it, just give yourself a break. Just have a go. Seriously, just have a go. We are not lying on this podcast. Please, just go for it. It's brilliant. I don't do this on my own, as you know. I am the sober rose between two thorns. I think that's how you say it. Morning, Freddie. How are you doing?
Morning, Shazza, my wonderful sugar plum fairy, the ding to my dong. You are a sight for sore eyes, as always. My name is Freddie. Not so long ago, well, in fact, almost 3 years ago, I was very down and out, stressed, depressed and drunk. But then I decided to change my drinking habits and I never looked back. I got a few world records, I did a bit of running, I moved over to New Zealand for a bit, but I'm here, I'm so excited about this episode, and I must say, this is my last Over the Influence episode of my 30s,
Woo-hoo!
Because this time next week, I scarily will be 40 years old, which means maybe I need to grow up and put some clothes on. But until then, let's let it all hang out, and I can't wait for this episode to begin.
Just to clarify, Freddie is wearing clothes on the recording. He's just talking about his rather raunchy Instagram snaps, aren't you, Freddie? There,
I am. Well, I'm wearing abs a t-shirt, on his abs. Put it that way. I can't say more than a t-shirt. But no, it's hot here in New Zealand. That's all I can say.
Oh, Freddie, you never fail to put a smile on our faces. You really do. It's lovely to see you glowing as per in New Zealand as well. We have got background Ben, absolutely, completely and utterly no longer in the background, very much in the foreground, very alcohol free. Ben, just tell us a little about you. Who are you? What do you do? Where are you from?
Hi, Silla, my name's Ben. I'm 30 and I'm from Liverpool.
Well,
from Birmingham, but now live in Liverpool, a very boozy city. Actually, Liverpool, the Scousers love to have a good time. And when I first moved up here for a job, I embraced that lifestyle a lot. I was drinking because it was great fun to drink in Liverpool. I realised that the stresses of my job that I came up here for were starting to make me go to the pub for stress relief rather than just to have a good time. And I gave up booze for 3 months because I thought, well, I've started this podcast with Shazza and Freddie. I'm listening to them talking about the joys of sobriety every single week. I need to give this thing a go myself. And I was only ever going to do a 3 month break. I had the full intention to go back to drink. I was a lager man. I loved a lager. A Spanish lager was mine. It wasn't just, you know, any old Carling. I was a Spanish lager drinker. I fully was going to go back to after 3 months, but then got to three and thought, why not? Let's do six. Got to six and thought, oh, I've done six. How great would it be to say I've done a whole year alcohol free? I got to the year and thought, you know what? I'd be stupid to go back to it because my life has changed in so many ways. Work's better. My relationships are better. I proposed sober. I will be going on a sober stag do. I'll be getting married sober in August next year. Shaz and Freddie, you got your save the date through, haven't you?
Got me save the date. Hats on order. Ridiculous hats.
Fabulous.
Oh, yes.
Fabulous. But I love alcohol-free life. I love talking to the authors, the Instagrammers. I really, really, really love talking to ordinary people with extraordinary stories. Shazza, let's talk to this extraordinary woman today because I've got to know her from doing Bring a Brew Zoom calls as we do as part of our community. And she's absolutely a friend now and she's incredible. Her story is incredible and I can't wait for you to hear it.
It's ace. What an intro. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Freddie. Yeah, as I mentioned a short time ago, we talked to all sorts of people on the pod, bigwigs, authors, Instagrammers, influencers and all that. But quite often it's real people with real stories coming on to share that are so inspirational. We are chuffed to bits on the pod today to welcome Susan McGarry. Now, listen, I wish I could give you a squeeze through the screen, Susan. You do not need to be nervous. You are one of our fabulous community members. You have hit last month 365 days alcohol-free. And basically, we want to big you up, sing about you, share your story. Welcome to the chaos, Susan, that is Over the Influence. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you very much. That certainly was an intro and a half. Yes, I'm doing fine. I was probably less nervous before that intro. I think I was expecting something a little bit more muted.
Don't do muted. You know we don't do muted.
No, I should, Susan, know better, really.
Yeah,
I should
absolutely
know better.
Well, you're amongst friends. You're amongst friends. We've got to know you so well over the last 6 months within our community. And what is brilliant as well is on these, when we record the podcast on a Monday evening, as part of the membership, our community members can jump on and watch the live recording. You've got an army of supporters on this call. It's brilliant. And they're there waving and cheering, going, go on, Susan. Go on, Susan. So you really
Thank
are
you, friends.
Friends.
Thank you.
It's so lovely. It's so lovely. Well, we know your story. We know about you, as do the community members that are watching. Susan, just before we get into the story about how you've changed over the years and your relationship with alcohol, just tell us a little bit about you. As I said to Ben, who are you? What do you do? Where are you from?
My name's Susan. I live in Yorkshire. I live in Yorkshire, but I'm not originally from Yorkshire. And I've only been here 30 years. So I've still got some time to do before I'm accepted. I was born in London and I also lived in Ireland. I went to school in Ireland, hence I've ended up with a West Country accent for some reason.
Obviously. But...
So I'm married, I don't have kids and I do have a dog and I work full time at the moment in traffic and highways.
Fantastic. There we go. So let's start with last month and you hit quite a milestone. You are officially now over 365 days alcohol-free. First of all, what an incredible achievement. We've been able to witness a whopping great chunk of this journey, Susan, and it's been amazing. What's it been like for you?
It's been good. Obviously, it's been good. It's much better than the alternative of not hitting it, that's for sure, and feeling that I'm back at day one or I'm, you know, didn't succeed. And all of that. I still kind of pinch myself. I'm not very good at having faith in my abilities. And I'm really working on that at the moment, that even when I do something well, it takes me a while to actually accept that I've done it well. So with the 365, it's day 385 today. I'm really pleased. It wasn't in the least bit anticlimactic. I had no concerns about day 366. And I think this because I very much felt that I wasn't counting down to 1 year. It was, yeah, I'm counting up to the rest of my life. And I felt that after a few months that this isn't a year thing for me. It was, I mean, I didn't think I'd do a bloody week, but I knew that once, when I made my decision in the summer to keep going, it wasn't for the year, it was forever.
And Susan, what was it that really made you think, you know, now is the time? Because we all know many people in our lives and friends and family that enjoy a drink and that's just what they do. And was there a particular moment that made you think, right, enough is enough, it's time to change my drinking habits?
There were lots of them, Freddie, but I ignored them all for a long time. I think things changed for me in January 2019, really. Previous to that, I had known that I didn't have a good relationship with alcohol. I was a fun drunk, really. I could get a bit melancholy sometimes, but I knew I used it. I used alcohol to cope, whether, you know, with to celebrate and to cope. So it kind of figured in everything. One of the other things is probably in 2005 or 2006, I bought my first bit of Quitlet, that I knew I wanted to stop drinking that far back. I just couldn't imagine not being a drinker because it was very much part of my identity. But where it actually changed in recent times is in January 2019. Well, I was very overweight. It didn't just happen in January 19. I worked a lot to get very overweight, and I decided I'd do something about my weight. So that was my I kind of call that starting showing a bit of self-care, really, because I think I'd had this persona, I'd created this persona for myself of being tough and resilient, and I am resilient, but I think I ended up being too tough and just not caring for myself. So I decided to go on a diet and I'd dieted before. My weight had gone up and down, and it was always the booze that made me fat. You know, I mean, I have a sweet tooth as well, which doesn't help, which is a lot stronger now than it used to be. But it was the booze that made me, you know, fat, because you can't, you know, sink a bottle of wine a day and think that's going to, you know, not have an effect. So it was actually in January 19 that I went on a diet, and I joined a weight loss forum, and I cut down my drinking. I knew that I'd have to cut down my drinking. So I still drank at the weekends, but I didn't drink during the week. And I think it's because I wanted to lose weight more than I wanted to drink during the week. You know, I was still going to drink at the weekend. Initially, that was quite hard to do, to even have that discipline to hang on for the weekend, you know. But yes, that was where I started off caring for myself, I think. And then I had some success with weight loss, and that helped keep going with that. I mean, but it was still, every time there was a celebration or a crap day, I would have a drink. You know, I would just count it as a calorie. You know, I calorie counted, and I just would be more, you know, I'd just be careful on other stuff that I had. So that is how, in answer to, you asked me a question there, Freddie, didn't you? So the answer to the question is, it was as part of weight loss was my initial drive to cut down drinking and try and get a healthier relationship. And I genuinely did believe that by cutting it down, I would suddenly be able to not let that creep up again. But that isn't what happened.
Susan, before we move on, I suppose we told you before we started recording this that this is all pre-recorded. We can take anything out that we talk about today. If you don't want it to make the final edit that gets, you know, shared with the Over the Influence audience, that's totally fine. You also said that you really wanted to be honest before we started recording, that you wanted to use this as a space to really tell your story, the good bits, the bad bits, the ugly bits, everything. You said earlier you're not very good at celebrating your achievements. You're not very good at accepting compliments either. And I know that on air, Bring a Brew Zoom calls that we do as part of the community. I actually feel quite bad that you when you say that you lost weight, you said you had some success with weight loss. You had huge success with weight loss. I don't want to say the number because I remember when I first found out how much weight you'd lost, I was going, oh my God, can you believe that Susan's lost this amount? And I remember you saying once that actually you don't tell people how successful your weight loss was because there's still a little bit of, is it shame that kind of, you know, your self-love journey started, but you still feel a bit uncomfortable telling people how much weight you've lost because it then lets people know how much weight that you'd gained in that period of time. Mm. Are you happy to say the number now? We don't have to.
Yeah, I have. Yes, I was going to say about losing the weight. Yeah, it was 8 stone.
8 stone. Like that's, that is incredible. Like,
don't say it's a small child. I know it's a small child.
I was just going to say it's a human.
It's quite a big child.
Susan!
To do that, that is the biggest. If someone did that, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And I suppose my question is that, why do you then go, because I know that you're an ex-smoker as well. The weight isn't, the weight started it, but it's the thing that started to change your entire life, isn't it? You dropped the weight, you've given up booze now completely, you've stopped smoking still.
Yeah, yes.
Fabulous.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And you, would you mind saying how old you were when you started making these changes, these drastic changes to your life?
52.
52.
I just had to work it out in my head.
Because a lot of people think, I am the way I am and I can't change. This is who I am and this is who I will always be. Mm. Because for 52 years of my life, I've lived this way. What made you want to, I know that the weight loss started everything else, but what made you want to change? What's that moment? What made you want to go, I don't want to live the second half of my life the way I've lived the first?
Okay. I think the thing with that is I knew, right, okay, I had some mental health issues when I was 30, and I had a bit of a breakdown when I was 30, and I had therapy, and I knew that one of the reasons, that the main contributor to the breakdown, was trauma that I'd suffered as a child that was still impacting me. And then because I'd had treatment and, you know, I got better and then got a good job and kind of restarted my life a bit, to be honest, I was scared of letting go of anything, and scared I can't be ill again. So I just built this suit of armor, and I was aware that over, as the years went on, I know that as part of that trauma that I suffered, that I went through when I was a kid, some of my behavior was self-harm, and some of it was me wanting to punish myself for stuff that was not my fault, you know. And I know that the rational part of me knows all that and knows that it doesn't make sense, but I still did it. And, you know, and I was aware that it was about not caring for myself. And over the years, I've kind of said to myself, you've got to be tough. You know, there's a statute of limitations is what you can blame on your childhood. You know, you're an adult, you know, kind of. I'd never use the term pull yourself together, because that's completely disrespectful to people with mental health issues. But because if you could, you would. But I did create this persona because I wanted to be a funny drunk. Yeah, I'm over that, you know, and I wouldn't really tell people. You know, there's so many people in my wider circle, well, and in my closer circle, to be honest. I don't particularly talk about it. It's like, no, I'm okay. But I knew I wasn't. You know, I knew I wasn't. I knew I had an unhealthy relationship with alcohol. I knew that, I mean, I'm married. I've been with my husband 20 odd years. You know, it's not, I wasn't, alcohol wasn't, you know, we were good drinking partners. Can you be good drinking partners? We had fun together, you know, drinking. You know, it wasn't like we were fighting or anything like that. I just knew that I was using alcohol as another weapon against myself. And that to me, and obviously the food was one of the things So I started doing that. And that was just kind of sick of being, just sick of being overweight, sick of not caring for myself. And, you know, knowing, I knew why I was big. And so that to me was kind of part of it, that then with then losing weight and getting exposed to people with different ideas, which is why I've mentioned the weight loss forum, because that's when people, you know, would say about different ideas as opposed to iron discipline. And I wanted to be open to all of that sort of stuff. I wanted to tap into different ways of doing things because I wanted to change my mindset. I wanted to change my mindset around food. I wanted to change my mindset around alcohol. I didn't want to be good for a year and then, oh yeah, that was then, that was just a fad and all of that. You know, I wanted to change it for good. And I knew I had to do the work. I had to put in the work to change it for good. So I think it was the losing the weight gave me the exposure to thinking things differently. And funny enough, and I know other people have mentioned this, someone recommended the Rich Roll podcast with Andy Ramage. This was before OTI started. I just want to add that. It was before OTI started.
It's okay. All right,
we
Susan.
Love Andy.
He's fine.
We love Andy.
Feel a bit cheated on, but it's fine.
But it did make me see that there was an alternative. And then while I was losing weight, I did Sober October. And that is the first time I'd had any stint off booze since I was probably about 23. Maybe because I didn't dive into alcohol until I was in my 20s. And the Sober October kind of it changed my behaviour. Not one iota. Went straight on the beer. That was it. Then it was, oh, it's nearly Christmas then. So then what I did was lockdown started. And as part of that, with lockdown, I also wasn't quite at my target weight, but still trying to get to my target weight. And one of the things was happening was as I got more to my target weight, my drinking was increasing because I was using those extra calories to spend on wine as opposed to nuts, which I still can't moderate on nuts. I keep trying that and I can't do that either. So, yes, so that was a big thing for me. And I was aware that my drinking was increasing and I knew I didn't want to go back to how I'd drank, and without the impetus, the weight loss to keep me going, I had a fair idea I'd slip back into habits, into drinking during the week again, because the day's got a D in it. So does that answer the question?
It answers the question and more, Susan. And thank you for sharing that with us on the pod. Thank you so much. You are, we've said this anyway, but you are an incredible woman, a really, really strong woman. And everything you've just shared with us, how do I phrase this? You've put the work in, basically. It's not a case, is it, of, right, I'm going to go on a diet, lose a bit of weight, and my life's going to change. I'm going to stop drinking, and my life's going to change. You have got to put the work in. And I want to know, what was it like for you? Obviously, you've shared with us a bit about your childhood, which led to the eating issues and using alcohol. When you tackled them head on and you removed the alcohol, how was that for you? Because we talk a lot on the podcast and with guests about sitting with feelings, about having to go through stuff where you've taken away those safety cushions, whatever you call them, and you're on your own, aren't you? You're exposed, and yet you're still doing it, and yet here you are, 385 days alcohol-free. That can't have been easy.
No, it wasn't. This is the hardest thing I've ever done. This was harder than losing weight. The thing is with losing weight, if I have cake one day, I can not have it the next day. And I don't feel I've reawakened something inside me. I don't know what it is. It's different. And this is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I absolutely felt like I was scared of failing when I started this, but I was scared of succeeding as well, because I didn't know who I was without alcohol. So I didn't know what the hell I wanted. I felt like an exposed nerve, to be honest. I did have to sit with the feelings, and I was really scared, because having had mental health issues before. I felt really scared. Oh my God, I'm going to be back to where I was, you know, when I was ill before. So I was scared of succeeding as well. And I was scared of, I was going to stir up all this stuff that I'd firmly kept the lid on. And, you know, it's like, I didn't want to open this can of worms. You know, people say, you know, I didn't want to be an unpeeled onion. I spent years putting these bloody layers on. I didn't want to take them off. I just didn't want to drink. And I found that really scary. I found that really scary and really hard to process. You know, I was very tough on myself with regards to statute of limitations of what I'm going to blame my childhood on, you know, what I'm going to blame my decisions as an adult, what I'm going to blame on things that have shaped me. And I'm conscious I needed to move to a much kinder place when I talk about myself. Not a victim place, you know, and not a, I'm a survivor, kick-ass thing. You know, I don't want to be that either. I just want to be kind to myself with what I do and what I say and what I think. And that's taken some work. I'm not there yet. But that's what I'm working on, is trying to do those things. So, yes, have I answered the question there? Absolutely. I don't know. What was the question, Ben?
It was something about sobriety.
Oh, it was, I remember it was Sharon asking me about my feelings. I did still feel like an exposed nerve and I was scared, but I knew that the only thing, I'd read enough and I knew the only way was through it. And someone had said an analogy that I heard, and I think it was Andy Ramage, it might not be. And Andy does this thing about fun side of the island. And I'd be like, yeah, yada, yada. Because I was getting no pink cloud. There were no pink cloud for me. People were going, oh, I feel fantastic and all of that. And I was just thinking, I'm not drinking today, because that's as far as I could go. I'm not drinking today. And I think someone said about, you're on one side of the island and you're at a 3-star resort and you want to get to the other side of the island that's a 5-star resort. But you've got to get through the jungle. And all I kept thinking to myself is, I have to believe these people. I have to believe. And actually, in my journal, I've written the day that I started listening to OTI, and I've written, I have to believe these people that I will get there. If I just don't drink today, I will get there. And I'm just cutting through the jungle, and it just feels a bloody dense jungle. And that's how I felt for a long time. And that kind of made me feel lonelier. I felt lonely because a lot of people seem to be reaping the benefits a lot quicker than I was. And I was reaping the benefits with regards to, I felt that I wasn't getting hangovers and all of that. But I also had the perfect storm of menopause and anxiety and that going on as well, and lack of sleep. My sleep was absolutely screwed, which was one of the reasons for stopping drinking, you know, lack of sleep, because I tried everything else except the elephant in the room. So I really struggled, and I felt very lonely, even though I was engaged with some Facebook, well, as engaged as I can be on Facebook, because it takes me about 3 hours to write a post. You know, because it has to be the best post ever, and it's got to be spelt correctly, because otherwise I ain't posting it, you know. I'll even look words up and think, double check the spelling if I don't know. So I did feel very exposed, but I very much believed that I have to believe these people. These people aren't lying. I have to believe them and put my faith, because I didn't know any better. So I had to put my faith in other people, and that's what I did. I put my faith in podcasts, in yourselves, you know, that things would get better, and I just needed to not drink today.
Susan, this story is so powerful, and you're such an inspiration to to so many people. And I think that one of the most amazing things is that it smashes down so many stereotypes, because we think of, you know, the David Gogginses of the world, the Ant Middletons, who are talking about discipline and determination and all these quite like big butch military type things. But I think your story is so motivational and inspirational and powerful. And it does show that all of us, no matter what we've been through, no matter the challenges that we continue to face, we can change our habits and change our behaviours. And just to pick up on a couple of things that you were saying earlier, that you were using alcohol as a weapon against yourself, and that you were also scared of succeeding. And I think that those two sentences are so pertinent to so many people, but we don't think about that. And also, a lot of us are scared to talk about it. We always talk about how brilliant it is to succeed, but we don't talk about how scared we are to succeed sometimes, because that means we have to confront that person in the mirror. We have to face those demons of the past. But I think, Susan, you have shown that anything is possible. I'm sure right now, David Goggins is in his compound somewhere in the mountains where he lives, and he's there going, "Oh shit, Susan McGarry, whoa, this is a real lady," and like in an American accent. But it's true. And you give so many people hope and inspiration. And I wanted to say as well that I've certainly been there, you know, in terms of thinking, when's this bloody sober side of the island going to turn up? I think that Andy's given me the wrong directions here, because I'm not seeing it, but it does come. And you're a testament to it. And I wanted to know from you, being on this journey and achieving all these wonderful changes in your life, what's next? Do you just keep going? Do you have other goals? Do you have more things you want to achieve? What is the next step for you?
Well, the next step, one of the things I did want to mention was I've stopped smoking as well. And I did that about 4 months ago. Again, because it's the self-harm, you know, and it was like, well, how can I say I really want to be healthy and smoke? You know, they're just contradictory. You just can't do that. And I started the Couch to 5K, and I've never been a runner. I like walking. And as when I was losing weight, I did more walking. That's what I did. I was not going to suddenly be a gym buddy or anything like that. I did more walking and exercise appropriate for a middle-aged woman, such as resistance bands at home, you know, that sort of thing. So I've carried on with that, but as part of the C to 5K. Anyway, I'm continuing with personal development. One of the things I started doing was looking at personal development. And one of the reasons I did is because I like last summer, I still felt quite anxious. And one of the things that happened to me was I paid for some coaching. And one of the things the person said to me was about what were my values. And I didn't know. And I felt that was very sad, that I didn't know what my values are. And they said, well, if you don't know your values, you know, why do you do what you do? You know, why do you, and, you know, what do you want? And for so long, my values, you know, had been pay the mortgage, go to work, pay the mortgage, get home, have some wine because I don't like work. You know, and roll on the weekend. You know, I like my personal life, you know, but that is what it was. And be strong. And so I did then do a course and look at some personal development, trying to establish what my values were, because I thought that was really depressing, that I didn't know why I do what I do. And I want to have values, you know, and top of the list, I want it to be, you know, values. The value number one is me being healthy. And I'm continuing with that, with the personal development, because I've really enjoyed that side of it. And I think that's really helping me to deal with, to firstly understand that people have feelings like I've had and have not had a traumatic childhood and have not had, you know, they just sometimes, you know, you get that inner critic and it can get out of control and people have anxiety. And so you know, and there are ways of, I am a believer, or I strive to try and find a way myself, you know, and I'm completely open to be educated to find a way to live a better life and not feel like this. Because one of the reasons for giving up alcohol was, you know, I was sick, you know, that the old cliche about sick and tired of being sick and tired. And, you know, I don't want to feel like that. You know, I want a bit of the exuberance and action and, you know, I want the fun feelings and I want to feel alive. I want to feel alive. And so I've been doing the personal development anyway, cut a long story short. Well, I then signed up for the...
Before you do, can you tell us your other values? Would you mind sharing? I love your values. You shared them with us before on a Zoom call and they are so... They're just lovely. I absolutely love your values. I know you write everything down.
Okay. I am courageous, empowered, compassionate, honest and true to myself. I have integrity and do the right thing. I am sober. I am consistent. I try to keep it simple. And I'm open to learning and growth. And I'm healthy in mind and body.
Isn't that
like,
in terms of putting in the work, like how long did it take you to write those, Susan? Bearing in mind you're a woman who says that you were sad that you didn't know what your values were this time last year.
It took me a few months, and it was like the two that were a penny dropping, or two pence dropping, I suppose, because it was two of them, was honest and true to myself. And have integrity and do the right thing. Because what I realised was those were the two things that I wasn't living to. Because I have been consistent and I have been, I try and keep it simple. I overcomplicate everything. I am open to learning and growth. But they were the two things that I realised I haven't been doing. I haven't been honest with myself and... or true to myself, because I've ended up doing stuff that I didn't align with me anymore. And I also realised that I had people in my work life and people I had to deal with who didn't have integrity and weren't honest. And I don't want to be around those people anymore. It's bullshit.
And I think that's,
I don't want to be before
I jumped in and asked you for your values, I think that's where you were going, because at the beginning of this you said I work at the moment in traffic and highways, but you've made a pretty big decision recently, Susan.
Yes. That wasn't the one I was going to actually say to Freddie, because one of the what next is I've signed up for a half marathon. Which is just hysterical.
Amazing.
Because I'm not. but the other thing, I've done a few things. I've quit my job and I leave in April, which I had been thinking about for a number of years, but didn't, not number, number of years to leave either last year, this year or next year. But I didn't really believe I'd actually would. I didn't believe at all that I actually would say, you know, do it. But I have. So I've resigned from my job and I've also started a course. And it is quite a cliche, because I've started a course on coaching and I don't really know where it's going to go, but I'll see what comes of it. I'll just be open and see what comes of it. But I think it was kind of like doing this podcast, because my instant, you know, my reaction was I'm not doing it because...
Thanks, Susan. Brilliant.
About me. Yeah, sorry. As much as I trust these guys, because they're simply the best, I just, you know, oh God, boring old me. But I thought the reason I want to do it, why would I want to do it? You know, move my ego to one side. Why would I want to do it? And I want to help people like me. I want to help someone like me who doesn't think they're worth stuff. They don't think they're worth being sober. They don't think they're worth being slim. And I want to hold my hand back and help people like that lift up.
Susan, there's someone listening to this podcast right now saying, I need to believe this woman. You know that, don't you? You know, in terms of coming on, there's someone listening to this going, I need to believe this woman. So I'm really glad you did.
That's lovely. Yeah, that's lovely. And I hope they are. And, you know, and I'd say to them to go for it, and they are worth it. And if I can succeed at this, they sure as hell can.
We are blessed with the presence of our so many of our wonderful community members today. Just the chat has literally been on fire all the way through this conversation. Can't read that first comment. Or the second one. But what about you? Say how wonderful you are, Susan. And going down, Jenny, say you'll be amazing. Another question, actually, around the relationship between food and alcohol. And I say this as someone myself who has replaced alcohol with Haribo. And now when I get stressed, I reach for the fridge and not the drinks cabinet. Do you think that is still something that you're battling with in terms of trying to, move to more holistic stress relief rather than still going for the fridge?
The main reason I was overweight was too many portions. And, you know, I always ate healthily, well, mostly healthily, just too many portions, too big a portion and booze. What I would say is, I stopped drinking I'd had a few stints in 2020, but since last year, and I maintained my weight loss until October, November. And I found the stopping smoking, you know, like I'd go up a few and all of that, but I wasn't too bad with the alcohol. But with the stopping smoking, I found that trickier with wanting to replace with food and it lingering. Because I suppose the thing is with the difference is with alcohol, for me, at least, it was an evening craving, you know, and I could just go to bed at 8 o'clock. Whereas with smoking, I would have a cigarette in the morning. So the cravings pop up more. But I think it does ease with time. It does ease with time. But I wouldn't say I was there yet. I'm still playing around with trying to settle into this, you know, this new not smoking, I'm settled into not drinking, but you know what I mean.
No, absolutely. I think, as you say, it's a journey. But the main thing is changing your life, huge transformation, inspiring people. As we're seeing on, going down the chat, Jenny say, amazing, so humble. What an achievement and a life transformation. You will make an amazing coach. And I certainly second that. Neil say, I flipping love Susan. And we do too. And there's so many comments going down like this thing. Literally, I could talk about these forever, but one thing that everyone is saying is how amazing you are, Susan, and how literally humbled and proud we all are here at Over the Influence to have you as part of this community. You are the lighthouse. You are the beacon. You are the inspiration to us all. We don't care about David Goggins because we've got Susan McGarry.
I echo that.
That's a bit of a dirty laugh there, Susan.
I was going to say, well, I saw a picture of him on Instagram and I think you've just got abs jealousy, Freddie.
So it was a dirty laugh. It was a dirty laugh. There we go. I saw a picture of him on Instagram as well and he hasn't got as many abs as Freddie because Freddie has got abs on his forehead. He's got eyebrow abs.
He's got ankle abs.
Ankle abs. He's got an ab on
I'm 40, they're going away because it's not becoming of a 40-year-old to walk around in various straight states of undress. So yeah, the woolly jumpers are coming on and it's all going to be tucked away now.
Don't do it, Freddie.
Don't be too drastic, Freddie. Don't be too drastic.
Don't right, do no, it. No.
This is all getting a bit raunchy, isn't it, ladies? Calm it down. and in the chat box. Keep it up, Freddie.
Hey up, Davina.
Well, as I get older, it's more difficult, to be honest, Davina. That's a whole other story.
Right, let's bring it back. Susan, as Freddie said there is a lot of love, so many amazing comments from the community members that are watching this recording of the podcast. I can't wait for this to be released because I know you are going to inspire so many normal people, just normal people that think they're not worth it, that they can't do it. They absolutely can. I just want to share sort of an overriding image that I've got of you, Susan, that sticks in my mind, if you don't mind. So when we started the community back last summer, obviously we host the Zoom calls and we do them ridiculously early in the morning. I did one on Friday evening. And we were doing them through winter, weren't we, at 7 o'clock in the morning. And it's like, I want to join the Zoom call. And there's Susan in a car, wrapped up in a blanket with a bloody flask, freezing your nads off. But you were putting the work in and you didn't miss those calls. And we all got to know one another and we all got to meet one another. And that's just one teeny tiny example of the sort of woman you are. Determined, strong, inspirational. You give a lot to the group. You've given so much during this podcast today. Honestly, you've been so honest. We've learned so much more about you. So thank you so much for sharing honestly. You've inspired us. You've inspired our community members, and we're just really, really excited to see what's next for you, because as you've shown, you've cut through that jungle. I love that phrase, you've cut through the jungle. You're now going, you're on a clearing, yet you're looking back with your hand out, wanting to pull others along the way. And for me, it's been a really emotional listen, and I've really, really enjoyed it. So thank you so much, Susan. You've been an absolute superstar.
Thank you.